I am unashamed. What about you?
The story's so nice, you tell it twice. So Zach is with us. Hopefully we got him for the whole time, although he'll probably flame out at some point. But I thought about you, Zach, because I'm watching college football on Saturday, and the big game of the week was Alabama at Florida. And so for our listeners, I don't know if we've probably said this, but all the Dashers, they grew up in Gainesville, Florida, so they're obviously Gator fans. And I guess Gordon is a alumni, right? He graduated
He graduated from UF.
From UF. And so they, you know, and Jan was an LSU fan when she left Louisiana, but through peer pressure and time, she became a huge Gator fan. And so I forgave her because she was such a wonderful woman. But so they love the Gators. But Zach, in the karma of, I guess it's karma for me, he marries a woman, Jill, who's been on our podcast, that is a huge Alabama fan.
Uh-oh.
I mean, hardcore. And so I guess, is her whole family Alabama fans, Zach?
They are. I mean, it's borderline idolatry. I mean, it really is. Yeah.
So it's funny because Zach's kids are just a mishmash. You've got like Bear, who's named after Bear Bryant. So, duh, he has to be an Alabama fan. And he is. He loves them. And then you've got, I don't know, is Fred a Gator fan?
Fred's a Florida fan. Layla's a Florida fan.
But then Max, my favorite in the family, is an LSU fan because he spent his formative years here in Louisiana. He loves the Tigers.
Oh.
So it's really
y'all have bought him. You send him merchandise, which like you're kind of like an influence in a bad way on him. You corrupt.
So when they won the national championship, I sent Max a big box full of stuff you could only get here. You know, with national championship. So I definitely am stoking that fire.
I think winning tends to take care of those.
Yeah. Well, right. Who, you know? I mean, Alabama's king of the world.
Well,
right
now. LSU. I mean, 2 years ago, Florida.
It's been a while. But so I'm watching the game, Zach, and I'm imagining being in your house because I couldn't imagine being married to a woman. I'm married to a woman that doesn't care about any of it.
Ditto.
But I can't imagine being married to a woman that like loves the team that you know that you're playing against as much as you love your team. So describe to us what happened on Saturday. Florida lost the game by an extra. They missed an extra point that cost them the game. I mean, that's the bottom line.
We actually went to the game. So we.
Oh, you were there? Did you take your Bible?
I was there.
Really?
I did not take my Bible.
Well, I would have recommended that.
it was wild, man. It was a party for sure.
Go in unarmed in that environment.
It was 100,000 people.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, it was insane.
Were you the only sober people there?
Well, there's a few others around us, but yeah. But there was a lot of Bama fans there. Yeah, we had a good time, but it's annoying, you know, the way Jill acts and conducts herself is, it's not godly for sure, but you know, what do you do, you know? I'll be honest with you, Alabama fan. Man, I better not say anything, guys. We got fans in Alabama.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you though, like it's a whole other level. It may be because they're so good right now too that it's like you know, it's like the big kid on the block, and they beat everybody, and it's like, oh, it's so annoying. And Jill's just sitting there smug the whole time. I thought we were going to win. And
so you went all in, didn't you? You went for it.
I went all in. I went full on trash talking.
But Saban himself says when you reach the top of the mountain, you are the mountain. That's
true. Did he say that?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Well, I tell you, I think we need some humble pie.
The best shirt that I saw there, though, was it said, "Not today, Saban." That was the best shirt. Not today, Saban.
That is funny.
Well, I had no idea that you were at the game because I was imagining y'all watching it at your house, but that's even more awesome. And Jill was with you at the game?
It was me, Jill. Our whole family went. We got tickets for Dad for his birthday.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And
so we went down to our old stomping ground. I went to my homecoming high school football game on Friday night. That was pretty cool. You talking about bring it back, man?
Zach, you were a high school star. You were quite the player back in the day.
I wasn't that good, but you know, I like to think I was. But I would agree with you, except for I know that people back home listen to this podcast and they say, no, you weren't. You were not that good.
So I'm gonna get emails now based on
that.
Zach
wasn't that good.
That's funny. Well, it was I mean, it really is. That's the fun part of college football though. It really is great because no matter, and it's ironic for me because I've bought property in Alabama. So I'm surrounded now by either Auburn or Alabama for everybody. And, you know, so I get grief everywhere I go when I wear LSU stuff. So it's like, yeah, you know, but it's fun because that's the fun part.
You need to give them a message because, look, LSU looked much improved after the third
game. They played
game.
A lot
And better. I was kidding about my wife. She does support Louisiana sports. So she was in there hollering the other night. But he wanted to send you a message, Zach, Coach O. You know what it is?
What's that? No, I don't.
We coming. Go Tigers.
I'm not worried about LSU. I'll be honest with you. Florida looked great.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'll tell you another thing too. That place was packed. I got a little teary eyed because it was the first time that I've been in a setting that it felt like normal. Yeah. They're talking about 90-something thousand people. They're like, man, we're living life. We sang the old Tom Petty song. You know, we did the We Are the Boys from Florida. It was like I grew up going to these games, so there was a lot of nostalgic memories that kind of came flooded back, and it was nice to see people just living and just doing life. And
but you know, it's funny that you're right. And the internet was just full of it because I was following it on social media Saturday and Sunday, showing a ton of crowds across the college landscape. And it was really amazing because, I mean, people come together, they like football, but there was definitely something more. Like, people were singing songs. I mean, like, they were showing, it was A&M and then up in Penn State, they're singing all these songs together. It was inspiring. I was like you, I got chills. I think Zach is right, though. It's just kind of that feeling of it. We're Americans.
What struck me is when this right here becomes an issue,
you're giving the universal image of money.
I said, you're fixing it because I just looked up. What's it cost to get in the stadium?
I'd love to know.
Zach?
Well, I think we paid about $150 to $200 a ticket.
Per ticket. So when you got
Zach has got
so
money.
You got 80,000, 90,000.
Try
what's 90,000, 100,000, hundreds?
I'm on it.
Well,
on
it's it. A lot, but we saved up for the trip first of all. So
you saved. Okay.
I'll tell you this: that we could have sold the tickets for $500. I looked on StubHub right before the game. So I mean, there
I would
people
have done
paying.
That. That's $18 million.
That's what I'm saying. So when it gets to money, forget the mask. I mean, we got 18 million.
Mask, money, mask. Let's go with the money.
last year, college football, I think the SEC had a 25% capacity rule for most of the season. So, but it was terrible. Like, it would be like playing in front of a, you know, terrible audience, you know, because nobody could get into it. I mean, last season,
none of the guys wanted to turn flips in the end zone.
No, you didn't see any excitement, you know. And then look,
I'm telling you, the fans there made a difference in the game. And what I think when we had that 2020 run where everybody was isolated, and not only that, you also had a movement to erase every part of the past, everything. It was just nice to sit there and be able to have traditions and remember all these things that brought people together of all different stripes, colors, creeds. Traditions are not bad. They're actually part of what make a culture. So it was kind of, for me, it was just like, man, if something's different in Florida, I'll tell you that right now. They're just kind of doing their thing. And it was fun. It's fun to be there.
But you got to remember, they did lose.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jason.
It was
I appreciate
great,
that.
Almost. I mean, it's, I feel like you think y'all won. But you lost.
I'm having a moment here, okay? But I will tell you, but I do think we're going to play again in Atlanta, and I think that Florida's –
it's interesting because Alabama, as with everybody, including LSU, has had the better of everybody lately. But when you look back at their record, Zach, when the SEC championship record, they're just right there neck and neck. I mean, Florida was successful more the Tebow pre-era, but they've looked good against them the last two times. The championship game this last year, I mean, that was probably the best game Alabama had all year. And then, of course, they really – I mean, if you guys get that extra point, which is really funny because Alabama's been so successful, what they've managed to do is have the whole country now is against them. So even me, because I have no love for Florida, but I mean I was just short of doing the chomp, you know, Saturday because I was pulling for him so hard because I'm like, you know, I'm tired of Alabama winning. So
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it, huh?
No.
Were you at the baby shower?
I was actually shooting ducks. I did check on the score.
Jace couldn't watch the game because they had a baby shower
together. There 5 minutes, and when I walked in, my first inclination was to run, but I didn't know where I was.
Sports fans are cheering, and Jace is picking doves in front of a Pizza Hut.
Y'all keep bringing this up, like. You need to get out more. I'm trying to make this world a better place, and people will buy pizza, and since they didn't see the process, they'll eat anything on it. But if someone is showing you the process,
you are, pick the doves.
Pick the doves. They're better without the feathers. That's my message.
I'll say this. I've said in the parking lot a few times, been on the phone, whatnot. I've never had somebody, an employee from a restaurant, come out and ask me what I was doing.
Yeah. It's a strange man doing something strange. It looked like
that's never happened to me.
He's handling dead birds. He's a whack out.
I didn't realize that we were going to be talking about this story for days.
This is now bled over into the next podcast. Well, I do want to mention one more thing before we leave football, because I think it's interesting, Dad. Your wife, her mom, Miss K,
is
a true fanatic. Like,
yes, she
the fan is a fanatic, is what it's short for.
I woke up to get a cup of coffee this morning, and I left the ball game early because I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning, and there was a note there in front of the coffee pot, and she said, "Down to the wire," and she said, "I had nobody to celebrate this with." You know, Mahomes, my hero, Holmes. Mahomes, he lost, but he, you know, if it had been
won. Didn't they win?
No, the Baltimore pulled it out. Is what mom
told me. She said, "You missed the greatest game." She had a note that long, you know.
Yeah.
She said, "I love you, but you really missed out last night."
So I'm on the phone with her last night, and she's doing play by play. I mean, we're both watching the game, and so mom's giving me her commentary along with Al Michaels and, you know, the other guy. And so I was like, okay, Mom, I'll let you go. I'm just going to watch the game now. But when I got here this morning, I came in. She said, "Did you watch the end of that game?" It's first thing she said. I said, "No, I went to sleep or turned it on something different." I hadn't been just like gung-ho NFL these days. But I said, "I missed it." And I said, "Kansas City won, huh?" Because they were up pretty big when I turned it over. And she was like, "No." And then she goes right back into play-by-play. But she said, "I couldn't sleep last night. I started to wake your daddy up just to tell him." I said, "Well, I'm glad you didn't do that."
She got all fired up about that one.
So
she had, last time I was at your house, I looked down on the stool, and she got four fantasy football magazines.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, so I didn't realize she plays fantasy football. She's in a league.
She's in more than one league.
I mean, that's just funny to me.
She's hardcore, which is funny because mom never paid attention to sports when we were growing up, but it's kind of a later in life thing or something. We're going to have her back on the podcast and have her tell us about it because it's pretty funny. Let's take a break. So, Zach, do you know if you own your home?
I believe I do. I believe I own it.
You believe you do.
Yeah.
So one of the things you want to do is you want to know for sure, and the way you do that is by using one of our sponsors, Home Title Lock, to be able to make sure that your home has not been stolen by cyber criminals. It's one of the bigger, you know, cyber thefts that's been going on these days, unfortunately. People find out if you have a high equity, and we know Zach, he's a money man, so he's got a high equity on his home. They go in. They steal your title. They sign off like you sold it to them, and then they use all your equity for themselves. That's kind of the current scheme that's been going on, Zach. So you might want to check these guys out. You're not covered by insurance. You're not covered by your bank or even common identity theft program. So You want to be able to check out Home Title Lock to protect your most valuable asset. So you go to HomeTitleLock.com. You register your address, make sure you're not already a victim, and you're going to receive a complete title history of your home, which is a $100 value that you're going to get for free just for checking these guys out. So check them out, HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure you own your home. Well, she was excited this morning, that's for sure, which I thought was pretty good. So we're in Matthew chapter 6. Last time we talked about the sort of the, I guess you would call it the God relationship kind of section of this, the idea of giving and prayer and fasting. And we kind of showed the difference between a legalist, which is who he's kind of dealing with here, versus someone who's not trying to bring attention to themselves, but is a spiritual godly person because they have a relationship with God, which, let's face it, you wouldn't really know, according to this, if you really had that sort of relationship, you wouldn't always even know that, right? I mean, it's he's saying make it more private, less public, because he's dealing with people, I think, that were making it only public.
Well, that's what's kind of crazy. When you get to the end in chapter 28, he's basically saying go public.
Yeah.
But how you do it is in secret as far as your personal life. I mean, if your secret life is contrary to the will of God, your public life for Jesus is not going to succeed.
It'll fail.
Yeah.
The American model overall fixed it. The theologians fixed it so that Sunday morning was when you had church services.
It's like the Super Bowl.
And you said, well, let's see now. We have Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. That pretty well tells who you are instead of the Sunday morning when you met for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 168 hours in a week. If two of them are designated for God and the other 166 are just, you know,
well, I think you're
wait
right,
a minute here.
Phil, they missed this point that what makes the kingdom of God the most powerful organization, functioning body, however you want to describe it, that the world has
on
ever
the
known.
Yeah.
That the world has ever known in the history of the planet and the future is, one, you have spirit-filled people think that something you cannot see, you can see the fruit of the Spirit, but you cannot see the Spirit in secret places, homes, conversations, coffee shops, where
everywhere
Jesus,
you are.
Yeah, where Jesus is being introduced, and even down inside your mind and how you're praying and the sacrifices, like when you think of something like fasting that you're doing because you believe that God reigns, that he's real and he reigns and he's all knowing.
And
he's
look,
all-powerful.
And what you're doing with your money, store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You get to looking at that concept, Al, and it's a doozy.
Yeah.
Well, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, which is really a strange phrase if
it
you
is.
Think about it. Where your treasure is,
work hard, you'll be blessed with wealth. Plenty of text for that.
Well, there your heart will be. So it's almost like if you don't invest in something, then you won't treasure it.
Yep.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm a treasure hunter, and Murray, the guy who's taught me everything that I know about treasure.
You're a
hunting.
Stock market man, but as the revenue flows, if and when it does.
Yeah, I care nothing about the money in the stock market. I know this is crazy. I'm one in a million. These people are trying to make money. I like the competition I like the game of the stock market. It's if you start focusing that it's real money, you would make, I think, emotional decisions, which would be bad.
Which a lot of people
now,
do.
Have I made a lot of money on the stock market? Yes. But is that my motivation? No, because I was content and happy with nothing.
Yep.
I've told my wife many times when she was frustrated and staring at the ceiling with a tear in her eye, she's like, why don't you make financial better decisions? You know, like Willie tried to promote me one time for more money, and I was like, "Nah, I'm good." And she was like,
"I've got all
what,
I need."
What? What? I was like, "Well, I don't. I want to hunt." She's. He's trying to get me to miss hunting days for a price. That what I do when I hunt is priceless.
Right.
I'm not taking that bait.
And you know, and he's brought up an interesting thing. You can get so absorbed with lucre, with the pursuit of wealth, Al, you don't have time to fulfill the text that says, make it your ambition to live a quiet life.
Yeah.
And then to work hard with your hands.
Yeah.
So you won't be dependent on anybody. Well, you know, you look at that, you say, well, you are wealthy in that you have your quiet life intact.
Right.
And you are working hard, you know, you're being blessed. Satisfied with that instead of saying, oh no, I just lost. And then you're devastated because you just lost this amount or that amount playing the stock market or doing anything. You got made a bad deal. So
I'm not really playing the market. It's just, it is structured as a game. And you know me, I like games.
Yep.
I like competition. But I will say this. I did some research for you. Y'all didn't know I was going to do this. But the subject of money or possessions comes up more than you think.
Quite a bit.
In the Bible. In fact, 16 of Jesus' 38 parables had something to do with money.
Which, there's a message in there, Jace.
Yeah. Look, if you...
And many of them are very capitalism... based, which I find interesting.
They all are.
One out of every 10 verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John addresses something to do with money or possessions.
I didn't know that.
10%.
I knew it was a lot.
Ironic.
Ironic.
Some of the legalists who say there has to be 10%. I'm all for giving 10%, but don't try to make some code to say, not nine.
Not give nine or nine.
No, forget what the cheerful is heart. Give as the heart determines.
And that has to be pre-tax, not post-tax. You know, I've heard sermons before about, you know, when that percentage is, and I'm just listening like, well, this is so unbiblical. And
to show you a strange, let me give you a strange scenario.
Okay. Well, I have some more stats. Okay, give me the more stats,
but let me just refresh your memory on this, which is pretty astounding. At White's Ferry Road, and then a little satellite church to where I am across the river.
WFRU.
We don't pass the plate where we are. Mm-hmm. We don't pass the put your money in here.
Yep.
We don't do that. But somebody said, well.
FinTech.
Yeah, I'm not being paid, so no money's going to me or Miss K.
Y'all have a FinTech system, ATM.
Vimeo.
Huh?
Vimeo.
What are you talking about? I'm just saying.
Well, how do you get the money?
Now watch. Let me give you. So you said, now, wait a minute. Let me get this. I come to where y'all are meeting, and you're not going to have a plate that passes by where I put money and feel guilty if I don't, or then worry about how much you're giving. We cut through all that.
No ATM machine.
No plate. Okay. We're not passing the plate. Nobody, no money changing hands anywhere except from us to you. Because we have a meal prepared.
That's what I'm saying. I think they need to invest something.
So what?
Or they won't think it's valuable.
No, so if you want to put some money, there's a box back at the back wall. It's bolted to the floor.
Charge them a dollar.
You couldn't get it out of there with a bulldozer. So we say, if you want to give to God, you put money there, which I do. Okay. We put money there. Well, White's Ferry Road got in touch with us, and they said, guess what? After we started that out, they started getting more than they were originally getting.
All right. Well,
right, Al?
That's right.
So I think, how do you figure that?
Well, it's the old bait and switch. You're compelled. You believe.
We don't pass the plate. And then they said, your giving, especially from y'all, is up.
Yeah.
Said always you should.
I'm just saying it's not about money.
Well, and to your point, you guys are a small group of people. But Zach and we were over at Robert Morris's church, which is a huge church in Dallas, doing a lot of great things. They have the same basic philosophy. They have a little, of course, their people are given online, mostly in the app, but they've got boxes in the back. But, I mean, they're very generous, and they do amazing work all around the world.
Well, look, you got to remember, I mean, Jesus in chapter 6 of verse 2, he said, so when you give to the needy, he didn't say
if
give or if you give. When, I mean, because people who are hooked on Jesus and the love of God, that will then in turn filter to people, the love of other people. That's why, look, prayer verses in the Bible, over 500 verses, 500 on faith, 2,000 on money, possessions.
Yeah.
2,000. I just think it's because that's what people feel is powerful. You have, that's why he gets to the end of verse 24 and
hang
says,
on, Jess, let's take a break before you read that. So, Dad, one of our favorite sponsors is Omega XL. We talk a lot about it. And, you know, Si's on board, too. Si's been taking Omega. It's really been helping him. You know, he's just kind of a walking ache and pain when you look at him, potentially. And but this has really helped him. We had the owners of the company in recently. I had a great conversation with them. And it's a good product. It's all natural. What they do is they attack inflammation, which really is the source of pain. And it was really interesting because they're a family business like ours. And, you know, we're into ducks and that was our thing. But they're into helping people with, you know, aches and pains. And they've been doing it for 35 years. Great research. The wife, co-owner of the company, is a medical doctor and a researcher. So you can trust these guys. It's a great product. It's really helped us with our aches and pains. And here's how you get started if you want to check these guys out. Go to omegaxl.com/fill, and you're going to buy a bottle, and you get a second bottle for free, which is good value. That's going to give you 2 months' worth of this product, which is about how long it takes to work into your system. It's something you take all the time. It's a supplement. It's natural. OmegaXL.com/fill. Or you can give them a call, 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888. And get after that inflammation.
He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, which I can't believe they capitalized money in this.
I know.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know.
Well, think about this. It's we've heard it say, but people say that money's the root of all evil, but it's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. So money is not the problem. It's the love and obsession with money, because we think that money leads to power. But I love this, the way the imagery here about this, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. I lost my grandparents this past year, and I lost my mother a couple years ago. And I'm telling you, when you go through something like that, and you start going through all their belongings, this verse comes to life, because you got all this stuff that was accumulated all these years, and most of it's going into the dump. And what little heirlooms we may keep, even at some point, my kids who are not attached to it at all are going to look at, what's this junk? And it's going to be thrown out too. And I just keep thinking about that verse, the psalmist, I think Psalms 90 says, teach us to number our days. I think that's the thing. If you really just take a step back from your life and you really consider that it's short. Yeah, you know, like I said, I went to my high school homecoming game. I graduated high school in 96. I'm like, man, this thing is moving. I think you got to put it in perspective. You get all you want, but at the end of the day, I mean, like by the time you get to enjoy it, you're probably too old to enjoy it anyway. It's just like it's a futile. It's just futility.
It's a great point.
Well, I'm a treasure hunter, but I learned something from Murray. I was telling this story earlier. He found one day like the greatest find that I had seen up until that, which was a 17 something. You couldn't read the other two numbers. Spanish real silver coin. And I mean, our crew went nuts, which I later found one a few weeks later in the same area. But the owners of the house, they heard us hollering out in the yard. And Murray immediately just gave it to the wife of the landowners. And I thought our other buddy, who's been a treasure hunter for years, I thought he's going to have a heart attack. Because he was like, what are you doing, brother? That's what he said. Murray said, I'm giving it. You know, it's their yard. And he's like, plus, what am I going to do? Put it in a box and stare at it for a couple more years till I die? But it just, it was like a real moment that I thought, you know, and it helped establish a relationship with the landowners that they knew we weren't out there trying to get all their stuff. Yeah. We were just having this experience and what we enjoy. I thought it was a real noble thing. But he quoted this verse, you know, because he's like, what we share there. And it was a good perspective. And that's kind of the key of this show that we're working on. It's like it'll be some variation of Treasure Hunters or whatever. But the true treasure are the people that you run up on. You have this experience. It's more, it's kind of a, you know, there's some irony there.
Yeah.
Where you're actually finding this old treasure, but you're viewing the people that you meet as more of a treasure.
Well, and the stories of the past. I mean, you're uncovering the stories of the past. And I think that's such a great point, Jay. So think about wealth. Wealth is not bad. I mean, you know, we're doing some things right now that I know are going to be impactful, like this movie that we're working on about the Robertson family kind of life story from the beginning years. And it's going to be a powerful film because it's going to really show a redemption and what God can do with people. And I think people are going to come to know Jesus through this work. But I'm telling you right now, in order to do that, guess what we had to do? We had to go raise money. Well, guess where we went? To people who were wealthy. And a lot of these people that have invested in this film, in fact, all of them, you know why they're investing in it? Primarily because they see it as a way to advance the kingdom. That's and right. So I think that wealth can be used in lots of different ways. There's a lot. I mean, we're just involved in so many things that I know about just in my little world with people that have resources. And I'm like, man, I see people like the Green family. Yep. At Hobby Lobby. I mean, you go, when we went, Phil, you remember when we went there and you walk in and you do the tour, the first thing that you do, they walk you down this hallway and it's just, this is basically, here's the missions that we fund. Here's why we're in business.
That's right.
And I'm like, you know, that, like, can you imagine the kingdom without the Green family? I mean, it'd be horrible.
Cornerstone for everything. Let's take another break. So, Jace, what makes you nauseous? Is there anything that, like, makes you nauseous?
When a bunch of ducks come in and somebody flares them.
Makes you nauseous?
Yeah, I want to vomit.
Does that make you nauseous too, Dad? Or?
It makes me nauseous that they didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God.
Hmm.
He gave him over to a depraved mind. That makes me nauseated.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Probably better nausea than mine.
It's a more spiritual answer. So one of our sponsors is a group called Relief Band, and they literally can help you in your nausea. So, Dad, when you're contemplating the spiritual woes of our culture, or Jace, when somebody flares a bunch of ducks, this product goes around your wrist, and it helps you by preventing nausea and vomiting. Because apparently there's a nerve that goes from your wrist up to your brain.
I'm going
to
get all my hunting buddies these wrists.
Then you
for
wouldn't
Christmas.
Be sick. It's 100% drug free. Awesome. It's non-drowsy. It's all natural. Zero side effects. Check them out. Whether you know, so for a lot of people, it's motion or other things that do it. So if you go to reliefband.com, reliefband.com, use the promo code Unashamed. You're going to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30 days money back guarantee. So it doesn't cost you anything to try it because you can get your money back if it doesn't work. Reliefband.com. Use the promo code Unashamed, 20% off plus free shipping.
Boy, I'm glad this text is in there, Zach. Why do you worry about clothes?
But that's why I always look.
I'm 75 and never purchased a suit. And someone says, it's like the two girls that came in about 4 or 5 months ago. And they said, is this like a real church? I said, well, yeah, we're glad you're here. The church is the people here. They're meeting here. And she said, well, where's the preacher? I said, well, how would you know if you found him? And they said, we don't know, but you usually know who the preacher is.
Well, right.
Where's the preacher? I said, Phil. He's around here somewhere. And they said, well, who are you? I said, I'm Jim Smith. And they said, well, Jim, it's good to know you.
Yeah.
After I preached, both those girls were baptized.
Jim said, Smith.
So you're the preacher.
It's a bizarre story Phil keeps going to, and I don't understand all the
I don't either.
But I know this.
I went to Jim Smith, the old field, and both of them were converted. I'm like, well, I need to try that again.
I would bet that the number one feud in churches and in marriages is over money.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree with that? Yep.
That's what I wanted to find out
from you. Well, why don't we read this? I mean, I'm saying Matthew 6:24.
Well, read it.
I just read it a while ago. You cannot serve both God and money.
And I will say, because I could just hear somebody listening right now saying, that's easy for you to say, Phil, because you're a multimillionaire. But I will testify that when you were poor, you felt you had the same message then that you do now.
Well, Phil is a walking testimony that money doesn't change a person, because I'm going to tell you, he had no money. We experienced that. Then he had a lot of money. And here's what changed around here. Nothing. 3 days ago, I was standing 20 feet out here where all his stuff is, and I saw the largest rat I have ever seen in my life going up the wall. I was like, Phil, look at this. And somebody said, you need a cat. I said, there's not a cat on this earth that can take it.
We've made room for everyone.
And I thought, well, nothing changed here. I'm not kidding. This rat was this long for you that's listening. He was 2 feet long rat. Now I'm including I have witnesses.
That's a Nutri-Rat. Long.
It looked like a Nutri-Rat scaling the wall. Phil, you saw it. Was that the biggest rat you've ever seen?
No, but it was. He was in the race.
I mean,
I thought,
the thing about Phil says that the only thing that changed is the menu. But here's the funny part about that is that when I come eat at your house, I don't want the upgraded menu. I want the Opelousa catfish. I want the fried deer steak. I want the. Yeah. I mean, that's the best thing you make. So it's funny, even in the upgrade, the only thing that did upgrade, it's the food we grew up eating. That's the best.
I will say this in that story yesterday. Phil's first response was, he said, I don't know about shooting a gun in here.
when I saw him and so the big. Size of him, I reached and got a weapon, which is always handy. I reached and grabbed that weapon. I said, I don't know about that roof in this thing. So I figured if I missed him, I'd put a hole in my roof.
We were all standing around thinking, is he fixed to shoot that gun?
So, now that would have been worth filming.
So what did you do? What did
we
you
didn't
kill
do
the,
anything? The, we let him watch, go. We watched where he went. He's still in there. He went. I was like, he's got a house. There's one little.
If I open my locker one day and that sucker comes out, I'm probably gonna have a heart attack. You're gonna put me in the ground.
I'm not embellishing. That was the biggest rat I have ever seen. He looked like a hybrid in between a Nutri-Rat and like a. I'm not talking about a mouse. Look, a mouse trout. He come up here and flick that thing off. It has no chance.
And he was bigger than a squirrel, so I don't know.
He was bigger than a squirrel.
Well, it's like what's the show? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There was a big rat on that show. What was his name? Sprinter? Y'all probably never watched that, did y'all?
I don't know. But this thing needs a name. I remember one of these old preacher stories. I don't know if it's true or whatever, but it kind of depicted the problem, I think.
That's sad when you say an old preacher story, and I don't know if it's true.
Well, I wanted to tell this preacher story because, you hear these things, and you're like, oh, my goodness. But I thought this one was pretty good. Now, y'all can make up your mind whether it's true. I mean, years ago, look, you remember when they had the Publisher's Clearinghouse?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that thing was a scam or not.
I think
but
it
anyway,
was.
But anyway, this woman.
Ed McMahon was the guy.
She won $5 million. And so, but she, her husband had a heart condition, so she didn't want to go tell him because she didn't want him to die of a heart attack because they won $5 million. Now, she was sincere. So she goes to the pastors, and she's like, look, I got this situation. And they're like, hey. They thought about what we need to do. They came up with a plan. They said, you know what, if you think about seeking first the kingdom, which we're fixed to get to, then that would help you not overreact, because it's just money. I mean, what's it going to do? We just read. You can't take it with you. Right. Don't store it. So the pastor said, so I got a plan. So they go out to the guy's house, and the pastor asked the husband, he's like, look, we've had a member of our church win $5 million, Publisher's Clearinghouse. Now, he don't know it's his wife, you know. So what we're looking for advice on what to do. What do you think? And he said, well, the first thing I would do is give half of it. I'd tell him to give half of it to the church. Well, then the pastor, when he heard that, he had a heart attack and died right there.
Back to worrying. Now, why would why would Jesus, why would he say something negative about what we wear? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Now, there's got to be a lesson in this. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, don't worry about it. Today, tomorrow, don't worry about it. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what's the message in there? Don't worry about what you eat, drink, or where. So it must be a problem the human race has, or he would not have brought that up.
Hang on, let's take another break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Think about the poor people in the world. The last thing they're trying to survive, and they don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. Or what you wear, what you eat, they're just making it from day to day. Somewhere there's a lesson in there about don't get so overly concerned with trivial things, which that seems to suggest what?
Yeah, well, I think that what it suggests is that we don't want to believe in the sovereignty of God. And that God isn't, he's running the show here. I mean, like he is in control of these things. And we have, you know, in the past, before we had all these technological advances, humanity was really at the mercy of nature way more than we are now. So it kind of, I think, forced us more into that. Now we can kind of pretend a little bit longer because we could of technology. But at the end of the day, I mean, what I think with this whole passage is why we worry is because we think that we actually are going to be able to produce some kind of outcome.
But you know, the quest for food and certain foods I won't eat, it's a big thing in America, and it was a big thing here, Al, on Jesus saying, listen, y'all are running after all this stuff. This will hurt me. I better not take this. I better, you know, this right here is healthy. This is not healthy. I mean, it's just a clamor on in the country
now. I saw a video last night. There were two people on an airplane. There's three seats. There's two people. They've got double masks. And then they've got a face shield on top of that.
Yep.
And they're sitting there, and there's a guy, and he's sitting there, and he's in the third seat by the aisle. And somebody's filming this. And he's eating the food. And they're cowered away from him in fear. And the woman keeps looking around, and she won't even look at him.
Because that's my point.
He's eating food. And and the guy's like looking like, he's kind of like rolling his eyes like, can you believe these weird people? Like, I'm trying to eat. So he had his mask. He was just eating. Then he was going to put his mask on. But I thought, that's the ultimate cowering and worry and fear. They got on this airplane. I don't know what they were thinking, but they were mortified. She wouldn't even look. And the husband kept looking like he was mad behind her. I guess it was her husband. Like, look at this guy. He's just eating right in front of us. Like, what is wrong with him? Who would eat on an airplane?
And not only eating, now he's breathing.
He's breathing.
He's taking air in and blowing it out. Without a wall.
And he's seated next to us.
Yeah,
that's right. And they've got their triple protection. But I think it shows you the ultimate, I think the pandemic, the coronavirus and all that, has shown the dividing line in our culture about people that worry.
It's pathetic. It's pathetic.
But I think the underlying principle, what Jesus was getting them to see, because you got to remember, they're trying to keep the law, and he's saying, you have a heavenly Father who loves you, will take care of you. He's with you in your closet. He's with you in your home. I mean, he sees what you're thinking. And then he gets here and he says, because in verse 32, he's like, the pagans run after all these things. I picture, like, you know, what's the day, Black Friday, when all the shops open, you know, and look, there's running, tearing,
screaming. You get run over if you get in the way.
You know, and just buying $600 shoes.
And start fighting over
it. There's purses out there that cost $10,000, you know, to carry what? I'm like, if I had $10,000, I would just get a Walmart shopping bag and put the $10,000 in it, not a bag to carry. What am I going to carry in it now?
Plus, Zach, if you think about it, you mentioned the cancel culture earlier. Do not judge, chapter 7, verse 1, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Meaning, you be very careful on being judgmental of others and just say, I've looking 200 years ago, he made a mistake. And I mean, you treat him as a dog from that day forth. You say, no way out, no forgiveness, no mercy, none. You just judge him and move on. As a movement, as a faction.
It's what happens whenever anything becomes man-centered. If it's man-centered, it's inevitable. Because we can't manufacture these things, right here, we can't manufacture our righteousness. He says, you're not going to get there by the law. You can't manufacture your security. He says, it's all going to get rusted and moths. You can't produce your own clothing. At the end of the day, like if it's on me, then I'm going to be faced with futility and frustration, so I have two options in the face of reality. Either I can bow before the living God and say, it is you, or I can create distractions, and those distractions are always going to lead to a harsh treatment of the body, judgmentalness, cancel culture, abuse, because I got to do that. That's what happens. It's just the way it works. I think that's the narrative.
If you don't have a father, if there is no God, well, why wouldn't you worry about all this stuff? You know, I was mid-verse in that, reading that, but it says, but your heavenly Father knows that you need him. He knows that you need food.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you're going to put your faith and trust, you're going to seek first his kingdom, and then he's not going to take care of you? You're going to worry every second of it? Well, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
And then when he gets to the next, what you're saying about judging, he's like, you don't think he knows who's on the up and up and who's not? It's not our job to go around and say, oh, you're wrong, you're right. We don't know.
Can you imagine being a judgmental person your entire life, judging other judges, slamming them, doing research, see how many mistakes they made, when they make them, how big were they made, and people just get into that, and they want to get your history out where they can just lambast you. He said, that's the same measure I'm going to use on you.
Think about the progression, Dad. He started out by saying, if you're serving money more than God, then you're going to be worried about everything. And then you're going to look at other people and be totally jealous and judgmental all the time. So the most bitter people in the world are people that are total lovers of money. I mean, because it's never enough. And if you're successful, then it's like, well, you didn't deserve that.
Why? Just look at the ramifications of big tech, Zachary, just big tech and all of what they've done under the banner of whatever flag they're flying, and you say, man, this place is a dog-eat-dog world we got in here now.
But Zach, you brought up the perfect point, because you're right. Somebody listening to our podcast will say, well, that's easy for Phil Robertson to say because he's successful. What they miss is that Dad made a decision a long time ago to serve God, not money.
Yep.
And we didn't have any money, you know, and eventually you made some. But look, you didn't worry about things.
Nope.
You had some financial success, but you still
didn't. By the way, did you ever see me or your mother maybe a little bit here and there, but did you ever see me going around crying and moaning about what we didn't have?
Nope. And look, mom doesn't either. And Jace has commented on this before. Mom, all that having money means to mom is just more to give away to people.
Tell me about it.
She
Phil
said,
was dunning me before we started. Yeah.
Kay always said, if you're people say, man, I'm gonna wait till I get money to be generous, or wait till I get, you know. She said, if you can't be generous as with a little, you won't be generous as with a lot. And you guys have done that. Back in the old days, it wasn't the big ribeyes you were cooking, but it was the red beans and rice, and it was good. It was plenty. Yeah. I think
don't
that's
be
the thing.
No
here.
Red beans and rice. I got that right up there in between.
It's up at the top. It's up at the top. But Jace, I want to key on something you said. I think is that when you said it, you read that verse about God knows what you need. This because I mentioned earlier, the problem is we question the sovereignty of God, that God's running the show here. But the other thing we question is that God is good. And so, yeah, we either question one of two things. Either God's not capable, he's not powerful enough to take care of us, or we question if he is, maybe he's not good enough, and he doesn't have my best interest at heart. And I think that's where and I struggle with worry. So I can tell you, man, it's like that's what I have to continue to repent of is to say that I got to keep coming back to it and say, God, you're big enough to do it, and you're good enough to do it. And I got to rest in that. It's difficult, but I think it's a sanctification, a journey of time.
I think you're right. But I think his theme, because he was talking to Pharisees and religious people, and that's why when he gets to chapter 7, he keeps making this analogy that when it comes to how you view what you're doing, you need a mirror instead of a magnifying glass.
Yep.
Because you think that is the difference right there in the religious world. They're looking at everybody with a magnifying glass in a judgmental spirit, or even worry and anxiety.
But they never see themselves.
They ain't looking in a mirror. I mean, you find that theme over and over in the Bible when it says you'll read the Bible and then you immediately go and forget that, you know, James says you forget what you look like. You know, he's all for mirrors.
Well, I love it though, Zach, and we'll close with this. The beauty of, and I appreciate you being transparent about your own weaknesses. The beauty is we have each other. That's, you know, we've got wives that complement and help us to be better men. Same thing with Zach and I, our business partners. So obviously we talk a lot about business, about what we're trying to do.
I mean, think about it, Al. Some people among us are going to baby showers, men.
That's right.
Grown men.
My point was, and you know what they thought? That last
do you know what they thought when I walked in? Some people just don't belong.
That's right. So Zach and I compliment each other. He has to worry more because I worry little, but together we make a good team. So anyway,
we're out of here.
I'll close with that.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.